This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And on this Saturday morning, last day of the month of May, at our Smart Garden Show, it's Laura Irish Hansen answering those questions from the U of M. Laura, good morning. Nice to hear from you again.
Oh, good morning, Denny. Great to be back.
Yeah, I know you've got some plans for later today, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. But in the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, as I mentioned to Laura off air, we are already getting a bunch of text questions, lawn or garden type. And, you know, if you're a regular listener, we tend to get really busy. So call us or text us. Yeah, you can call and chat with Laura if you like, or just send her a text. 651-461-9226. Well, what have you been doing since we spoke last? I know you, you're an educator, but what's been on your schedule this early gardening season?
Wow, it has been a whirlwind the last few weeks, Denny. So at home, I actually planted out my entire greenhouse. So I swapped plants out that I had overwintered. And now I have plants that I'm protecting from bunnies, which in my yard, eggplants. I can never get my transplants to be bunny proof. So now I put them in the greenhouse where they can't get them.
Well, that's kind of neat.
It's super fun. I'm really excited. And at work, I unfortunately had to miss it, but we finished putting up our kiwi berry trellis that was specifically built for homeowners to see what they could do if they are looking at growing kiwi berries. So that is here at the farm at the Arb, and it is gorgeous. And I am so excited for us to move the kiwi berry binds over hopefully this next week.
Tell us a little bit for listeners who maybe have never been to the Arboretum, and we certainly urge them to do so. Where do they find the farm at the Arb?
Yeah, the farm at the Arb is a beautiful hidden gem with the beacon of a big red barn. So if you've ever driven on 3 Mile Drive, you might have looked off in the distance and seen a red barn. That's actually part of the Arboretum, and that is where the farm at the Arb is. So if you're on 3 Mile Drive and you go to the hedges, so you hit the hedges, and normally people just turn left. But if you turn right, you go down Petermo Drive, beautiful drive, and then you end up at the farm, and we have just beautiful farm plots, both for row crops, so like corn and soybeans, potatoes, and then we have vegetable crop systems, and then the foodscape, which is more of a homeowner size for growing food. So there's also the Bee and Pollinator Center, which is super fun to go into.
So many things to do with the Arb. So many things. And again, I've done that drive a number of times, but people get up and walk. But I've even seen wedding ceremonies taking the place there, right?
Yeah. So sometimes I feel very underdressed when I am outside full of dirt and there's a beautiful wedding party going into the Red Barn. I'm always like, oop, better go back inside.
Yeah, some great, great viewing. All right, let's put you back to work here, Laura. Tree question. My backyard texture says full of unwanted black locust volunteers. I try to dig them up every year, but their root systems are so massive. I never get them all. They come back. Any advice on managing that?
Yeah, so black locust is native to the U.S., but it is restricted in Minnesota, which means it can't be sold or taken from place to place. So if you go onto the MDA, the Minnesota Department of Ag website, they do have a whole page on the best way to get rid of it. But really what that means is you can try to dig it up, but as the texter said, they'll regrow and resprout. So best treatment is to cut them, the stems back to a few inches above the ground and then spot treat them with an herbicide. And just make sure that you read the label when you're using the herbicide.
Would you say the same process for buckthorn?
Absolutely. Yeah. Buckthorn is a very beautiful pesky plant. And that one is really, really good at regrowing. So if people cut it back, kind of the same with like mulberries, when you cut it back, you actually just promote bushier growth, which can be harder to manage over time. So the most effective method is to, what you do is you just cut it back and then spot treat.
Spot treat with a killer, like a Roundup type of stuff, right?
Yep. And definitely look up on the labels if it is listed for whatever plant species you have, just so you're following the law of the label.
No, that's, we always like to bring that up here in the show. Always read the label. I don't care if you're talking about fertilizer or whatnot. Read the label. Here's a listener's text, Laura. Planted a double knockout rosebush 2 years ago, protected from bunnies with chicken wire. Grew fine the first 2 years. This year, nothing. Not even a leaf. Could it be dead?
It could. At this point, it should be leafing out. I would take pruners and just slowly start cutting back to see if you have live wood in that plant. And what that's going to look like is when you cut the stem, look at turn it towards your face and then look and see if there's any greenish color to the inside of the stem. If there is some green color, it might still push out. But if you don't see any, you just keep cutting back and cutting back. Likely it didn't make it and survive through the winter. And for lots of Minnesota, there wasn't much snow cover and we had some pretty cold temperatures. So they may just not have been able to make it through.
I was looking at some plants. In fact, I bought a couple of different tomato plants to grow this year. And I, for the life of me, I looked it up once, but I can't remember. What is the difference? What is determinate and indeterminate? What does that mean?
I love talking about this. So the two main types are called determinate and indeterminate. So this is all about the flowers and how the plant either has a determined end, so it will flower and at that flowering point it's not going to grow anymore, or it's indeterminate, so it will flower but then the stem will keep growing and getting larger and longer. So determinate tomatoes are really great particularly for containers or small gardens, whereas the indeterminates, you know, if it's in a well-loved and well-cared for spot, you know, those stems can actually grow up to 8+ feet long on a single plant. So they need some type of trellising or some way to be growing up and off the ground. What else about them? Determinants are really great because most of them, they're going to ripen all around the same time. So if you're big into canning, a lot of our paste tomatoes are determinate types so that you can harvest a bunch at one time and then just be done with those plants.
Okay. All right. Well, that explains it. I remember it was a few years ago, I had a container of Sweet 100s. And I swear that thing, I have to keep, it was like Jack and the Beanstalk. It must have been 8 feet high.
Oh, yeah. And those really benefit from pruning the side shoots off of.
Okay.
But, yeah. So it's sometimes more work for indeterminate tomatoes. And by sometimes I mean most of the time.
All right. Laura, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here. We have more texts, more questions to get answered. Now, if you'd like to call in and chat with Laura, or send a text, whichever is easier. Just one number to remember, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we gained a few more degrees. We're at 63. We are on our way to 83. Tomorrow for your Sunday, with along with those areas of smoke, we'll have highs near 87. The Monday is the scorcher, as they say, 93. Sunny and hot, and then Monday night and Tuesday, we could be in for some showers and thunderstorms. So you stay tuned to CCO. Right now, again, partly cloudy on this Saturday morning, 63 degrees. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you if you're just joining us. Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have here on our Smart Garden Show. Phone it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. Laura, here's another one. Another text came in a couple of minutes ago. Several evergreen trees in my neighborhood have dried some type of needles. Doesn't say here. Can you give me an explanation for this? Will this spread to my evergreen trees? I'm not sure what they're talking about there.
I wonder if they're talking about the needles on the interior being dry, kind of dry and dropping out, or if it might be the tips of the evergreens getting dry and actually they'll drop out. Both of those situations, yes, they can spread to trees. Usually this is going to be spread from animals moving from tree to tree or even wind if the spores, you know, move by wind to the trees. So it really just depends on what the disease is and how it will move through those trees. But without a little bit more information, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly which issue it is because there are quite a few evergreen needle issues. On our website, umnextension.umn.edu, we do have a whole thing on different disease pressures on various evergreens. So there are photos with those too. So if you need to try to figure that out, which one it is, it's a great resource.
Oh, it really is. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, Laura. Extension.umn.edu. I was about 3 days ago looking for various shrubs or trees, and that's a great resource. I've done that a number of times, but it really is. And we'll mention that again, as we always like to do, extension.umn.edu. Let's see. This listener wants to buy a black cherry tree but doesn't know where to look. We got a lot of great garden centers.
Yeah, there are a lot of great garden centers. And sometimes I like to recommend that people call before they go, particularly if you're going for a specific item, because then you're not wasting your time or gas. Or you can be like me and definitely makes my husband super happy when I'm like, no, I'm going for this specific plant. And then they don't have it. And then I come home with six other plants. So you might want to do that if you just want to wander around the garden centers. But you can also order these online. So there are a lot of great online retailers and growers, so you can order. Usually they come bare root, which just means that there's no soil on them, so they can ship them between states.
Oh, interesting. There are laws, yeah. Texter planted some canna lilies that they got free last fall. The webpage I read said water well when planted, then not for 3 weeks. Why? Should I protect them from rain? I buried the entire plant. Should I have left the dead stem exposed? So a couple of questions there.
I'm really curious what website they read that on. So it depends on your soil. So if you put the cannas in a container with some potting mix or potting soil, those are going to dry out too much for them not to be watered for 3 weeks. You can actually dry out that bulb too much and inhibit that new growth from coming up. What else was on that? For burying. Yeah, so cannas are best. They're very shallow. You don't have to bury them very deep. So if the main part that you buried is more than like 2 inches below the top of that potting mix or the soil, if you buried it in the ground, go back, dig it up, and bring it closer to the soil surface. And definitely keep them watered in. Cannas actually do much better when they have average moisture or even moisture.
Like you said, I wonder where they got that initial information. But again, there's a great website, extension.umn.edu. Listener sent this in, Laura. I planted 3 peony bushes last year, and one is not producing flowers. Any suggestions?
Yeah, so that can happen. Sometimes it takes peonies a couple years to get established, but there are so many things that are little that can inhibit peonies from flowering, particularly newer planted ones. And one of them is being buried too deep. Peonies, you really do just leave them an inch or so below the soil, and that's it. And if you had mulched or pulled mulch over it in the fall, you need to pull all that mulch back, because if those peonies are buried too deep, they just don't flower, which is a bummer. And I can talk from experience for three of those that I did that to my first year at my home and had to pull them up for the next year, and they flowered just fine. They also don't like being very wet. So if peonies are in a really low spot or a spot where water is draining off of a home, for instance, that can just really harm the plant overall, and you may not see very strong blooms on those peonies.
Here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. How do you get rid of lilies of the valley? Texter wants to know.
So lily of the valley is a... for those who don't know, it spreads like a ground cover. It has these rhizomes that are actually called pips. And so it spreads underground, and then there's these little kind of triangle-shaped compressed stems, and then they just keep running and growing up. So the best thing to do is get, I call them potato forks, but some type of shovel or something, go underneath and lift. And follow those rhizomes to lift them out. That is the best method, is physical removal. And it is a lot of work, particularly if you have a big space in your yard.
Okay. Good morning. Texter says, with all the excess rain, my caladiums are rotting. Will they come back, or should I pitch them?
Yeah, unfortunately, if caladiums get too wet, they are definitely prone to rotting out, and there's not much you can do once those crowns have completely rotted. So take them out of the soil, feel if they're still firm or not, and if they're pretty smushy, there's not much hope that they're going to come back. But if they're firm, maybe just put them in different containers with more well-draining soil or substrate.
Simple question, well, at least for the listener. What is the best, tastiest cucumber to grow? I love cucumbers.
Wow, I love cucumbers. And cucumber taste can actually be impacted based on the growing environment. So that's how much sunlight it's getting and soil moisture. So it's kind of hard to say just a general cultivar that tastes really good. Other than that, I know some of them are a little more bitter than others, but yeah. I can't off the top of my head think of any that I've eaten that I've just been like, ooh, I don't like that.
I remember one year I grew some English cucumbers. They weren't too bad. Yeah.
I do have a favorite cucumber, all-time favorite, and I convinced my lovely co-worker Julie that we should plant them here at the farm at the Arb just because I enjoy them so
much. What kind are those? Now, which...
So the cultivar name is Katrina, and it's was bred actually to be grown in hydroponics inside of like a greenhouse or pretty much a building. And I accidentally bought it one year, and I have really sandy soils at my house, and they're little snacking cucumbers that don't produce seed in the inside, and they stay small. So they don't get big and hard or have bad taste. And then I love them so much. The following year, my dad asked for some seed, and he has almost pure clay soil, and he gets them to grow just beautifully. So it's a pretty adaptable cultivar.
I'm going to have to try that,
Katrina. Just for growing inside. Yeah.
Some inside information here from Laura. I'll tell you what, hang on, Laura, we're going to have a look at that forecast, and when we come back, we'll answer some more questions, either by phone or by text. This is our Smart Garden Show every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Nice to have you around this morning. If you're just joining us, Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M is answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this morning. Usual number, you can call it in or you can text it in, 651-461-9226. More text messages coming in, Laura, so let's get you back to work here. We have a texter says, small maples and oaks that were windburned earlier this spring, you think they'll survive?
Yeah, so if they were well taken care of last year. So that means they were given water or the last couple of years, depending on when they were planted. They'll likely bounce out of it just fine as long as you continue to provide water for them on the weeks when we're not getting about an inch. So make sure you keep watering them to get them well established. They should push out of it soon. And depending on your soil, you can get it tested. If it shows that there's some nutrient deficiencies, definitely look into fertilizing if needed.
You know, I was thinking about doing that very thing. Maybe we could talk a little bit about getting a soil test from the U of M. How do we do that?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. You can go on to the website, or you can just search in your browser Soil Test UMN, and it'll pop right up to the Soil Testing Lab. And then there you have amazing instructions for how do you collect a soil sample, what should you put it in, and then what test is best for you. So if you're doing it in a yard, like a lawn space, or are you doing it in a garden? And then you send in your sample, and then they will get your results back to you.
It's pretty reasonable, too. I think it's around $20 or so, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and it depends on the type of test. There's add-ons, so it can be a little bit more. But for the most part, yeah, it's a pretty reasonable test to learn if you need to spend money on fertilizer, because fertilizer is pretty expensive. So
no, that's good information to have, for sure. All right. Yeah, you can always check out extension.umn.edu like we recommend. Listeners sent this text. My Admiration Barberry was planted 2 years ago. Last year, its inner branches leaves dried up. The shrub came back great this spring, but this week, the same thing is happening to the inner branches. Any ideas?
Sorry, I missed. What was the plant?
It was an Admiration Barberry.
Oh, a barberry. Okay. I was like, raspberry? I've never heard of that. or that cultivar. Obviously heard of a raspberry. So yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'll have to look into that to see if there's any type of disease that might be going on. So maybe after the next break, I will get back to that one.
Little research. All right. Is it necessary, Texter says, to clip off spent flowers on a lilac tree?
I never do that, and I have a beautiful full lilac blooms year after year. You can for if you have a Korean lilac, so those are usually smaller in stature little shrubs compared to like a common lilac. You can prune off the flowers once they're done blooming to encourage a very full bloom the next year, but for the most part, you don't need to worry about cutting back the flowers themselves.
All right, very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning, Laura, from New Ulm. Mary is calling in. Hi, Mary. Good morning. What is your question for Laura?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have two hibiscus on the north side of my garage, and there's not much activity yet. Do I give them more time? Because I know they're later coming up, so I don't see any action on them yet. I'm afraid I froze them out or something.
Yeah, so because they're on the north side, they are usually more exposed to those cold winter winds if there's not some type of windbreak before that north side of the building. So they could have froze out if, and in New Ulm, you didn't have much snow cover either, like we didn't have in the Twin Cities. So they could have not made it from that. But I would wait just another week or two as the soils keep warming up to see if they pop up. You can also gently kind of pull the soil back around the crown of where that plant is and see if there's any buds starting to push. That might be another thing if you're wanting to know sooner than later.
You know, Laura, what I'm noticing as I'm reading these text messages, it seems like by far the majority of people having problems with their plants for some reason.
Yeah,
most of the questions. Well, let me give you another example. Good morning, Texter says, my established asparagus patch not growing well. This is the second year for a very little yield. My neighbors are having the same problem with their asparagus. What could be the problem with this?
Yeah, so like many of our plants, if they were not covered up in the winter, they can actually have some damage because the soil got too cold too fast without the snow cover. So you might be having some loss from that. Asparagus also is a pretty heavy feeder. So if they haven't been getting some additional compost or fertilizer over the years, that can just decrease their productivity over time. Or if they've been over-harvested, you know, before those, not this year, or last year, but when they were more productive, if they were over-harvested, not let left to grow up and have their big, beautiful fronds to photosynthesize all summer and put energy back into those crowns, they're going to suffer and not be able to bounce back or deal with environmental stress very well. We did have some drought, you know, in most of the state last fall. So if those plants weren't watered very well going into the winter, that can also exacerbate that cold soil effect. So that's one of the reasons I think a lot of people are having issues with their, particularly their herbaceous perennial plants.
Okay. Here is another one. This is right up your alley, especially today. My rhubarb patch is probably 150 years old. This year, my stalks are thin. The whole patch itself is thinner than normal. What could have caused this?
Yeah, so rhubarb is an amazing plant, right? It's really resilient and it can last for a long time, but it does need some care. If the patch gets too large and the crown gets too large, it will actually stop growing in the centers very well. And that's a great sign that it needs to be divided. So take the shovel, and if you have a giant rhubarb patch, that might be a 3 foot in diameter plants, and take the shovel and chop it up. And put those, each one of those chunks, you know, give them at least 3 to 4 feet between plants. And that should help rejuvenate those patches. There are some issues that happen with rhubarb, some disease pressures, but most of the time they don't totally take the plants out permanently. But I would definitely consider dividing the plants if you haven't done that for a while.
And the reason I brought up this is right up your alley today is, well, tell us what you'll be doing later today after the show.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I was asked to help out with one of the classes here at the Arboretum with Chef Beth, and it's all about rhubarb. So I get to talk about the history of rhubarb and how to grow and maintain it and the proper harvesting technique. And I'm excited to show off a hort short I did on how to properly harvest rhubarb,
now, who
which
can
I've learned
see,
most people don't do right.
Is that right? Now, who can join in on this? I'm sure the class is probably filled already.
Oh, yeah. The class is definitely full for today, but there are a lot of great classes at the Arboretum, and a lot of culinary classes have been added. So if you want to learn more about cooking and food and even classes that we help co-teach, and by we, I mean Extension, we do Grow, Harvest, Eat, where you learn how to grow the produce. You actually harvest it in the foodscape. That's the gardens around the building. And then you take it into the kitchen and cook with it. So really
that's
interactive, fun classes.
Love that. Let's grab a phone call before we break. Rosalita calling in from Hutch this morning. Rosalita, good morning.
Good morning. I have had a large batch of hens and chicks for like 10 years. And they hardly needed any maintenance. And this year they all died. All of them.
Hen and chicks are a succulent plant, for those who may not know. And they are really fun because they'll actually, it's a hen is the main plant and the chicks are little offshoots that come off of it. And it just, the patches usually slowly spread and get larger and larger over time. They need really well draining sites. So if it was in an area where, like last year we had a lot of rain in the, late spring, early summer, that can actually damage a lot of the roots. And while they might not have died right away, going into those drought conditions, typically succulents will be fine. But if those roots are damaged, they might have struggled. And then going into the winter where it got really cold, they might, you know, that can do them in, as we'll say.
All right. I tell you what, I know we have to break, but let's grab one more phone call before we do that. Cindy, next up on CCO, calling in from Monticello. Hi, Cindy. What's your question for Laura?
Hi, thank you. Yes, we have two mugos on a terrace, and earlier in the spring, they looked really healthy, looked really good. We were gone for a couple weeks. We think the weather was okay here. But now we've got some damage, brown needles and so on, kind of in the middle, top middle, and not quite sure. And they've been, I've had them for probably 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah. Bugo pines are, they're pretty susceptible to various, issues like tip blight, rusts, and they can actually get some rots, but that doesn't sound like, what's going on. So it may actually be exhibiting, some sort of tip blight. I also know that, from previous experience at a rental I had, I didn't know that they would get pine needle scale, and that, actually for me, for the plants that I was taking care of, it actually made them all die off starting in certain branches in certain areas. So I would go check out the stems, maybe put on some gloves just because, you know, pines are kind of prickly, and then see if there's little bumps on the stems that are actually little insects, because that might be what's going on there.
All right, very good. Laura, hang on, please. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show on this Saturday, presented by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, answering those particular questions. Boy, we've got so many in that we're not going to get to, unfortunately, but there's next week, too. What type of soil, listener wants to know, should Bird of Paradise be planted in? We'll get to that, and then I know you did some little homework. We'll get to that. But what type of soil for Bird of Paradise?
Yeah, so Bird of Paradise would do best in some well-draining potting mix. So I would definitely grow it in a container unless you have some more well-draining or sandier soil outside. So look for a mix that maybe has a little bit bigger bark pieces in it. And just know that you're going to want to make sure that it is watered regularly, because they don't actually like to be dried out too much, but they also don't love sitting in water. So that's why we want pretty well-draining media for them to grow in.
Earlier, a few minutes ago, we had a text about an Admiration Barberry was planted 2 years ago. Last year, the inner branches, leaves dried up. What have you found out?
Yeah, so I just did a little bit of digging, and it could actually be a root and soil issue. So when those plants are grown in containers, they can actually end up having roots that are kind of girdling and circling around in the pot. So if those weren't teased out when they were put into the soil, that could be one major cause for the center dying out. So if you remember when you planted it, if you didn't tease the roots out, that could be an issue. It can also be from soil compaction if you have really heavy clay soils. So that is something that, you know, that plant may just suffer for a long time because of it. And then the other thing I thought maybe after reading into it was some sort of canker. So if you have darker cracking bark on those stems that are dying out, you might actually have some type of canker disease.
Okay, some thoughts there. Listener Laura says, we have a beautiful full-grown sugar maple that is showing some necrosis on the leaves. No spraying or fertilization has been done near the tree. The leaves that have dropped off tend to be rolled up. Are any maple diseases prevalent this year, have you heard?
Ooh, you know, I haven't been told of any specific maple diseases that are impacting this year in particular. I'm wondering if the tree was just kind of stressed out from the wet weather to dry weather and winter and coming into spring.
Okay. Interesting question. Are San Marzano tomatoes good for both eating and for making homemade sauce? Rose from Medina wants to know. I say yes on both if you can find the real thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever grown San Marzano tomatoes?
I have many times, and I've grown San Marzano 2, and there's a whole bunch of them that have come out of that original San Marzano cultivar. But they are really delicious in sauces, obviously, and then you can have them fresh. They're great because they don't have as much of the seeds and the gel around the seeds. So people like that for sandwiches because it's not so smushy.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. Rabbit. I'm just seeing. Rabbits are, I think they mean hostas. Rabbits are eating my hosts. That is a big rabbit. Any suggestions? No. I guess the only way is, you know, some kind of barrier, right?
The best defense is always a fence. And they'll stop eating the hostas usually after they've fully leafed out and they have the rabbits, that is, have more food sources to choose from later. So if you can protect those hostas with some type of fencing or cage in the early spring and or in spring into early summer, then you can usually remove those and it should stop them from browsing down the rest of your hostas.
Okay. Real quick one. Let's grab a phone call. Catherine calling in from Blaine, I believe. Catherine, what's your question for Laura?
Hi. Yes, I want to know about hydrangeas. I bought the beautiful burgundy one, and it's a shrub. How do I keep that color, or is it going to turn white like most of them you see?
Well, we have about a minute, Laura.
Okay, so I'm going to assume you mean the flower color, because there are some hydrangeas where the leaves are a darker color, and the leaf ones will stay that darker color. You don't need to do anything. And I'm not sure exactly what the cultivar is for the burgundy hydrangea. I'd have to look that up, but I'm going to assume that it's not going to be soil pH affected like the ones that people want to keep blue, which need that acidic soil.
All right, good. Well, a couple of items before we let you go, Laura. Get to the Arboretum and give us that U of M website again, please.
Yeah, it's extension.umn.edu, and it is a great resource for all things about your yard and garden.
And get to the Arboretum. There's going to be a great week for that, as if any week. Any week is a great week to get to the Arboretum, but it's such a
especially
fun place.
Especially with the azaleas.
Oh, yeah. Laura, thank you. It was always fun, and we'll talk to you soon, I know.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Have a good weekend.
And you as well. Laura Irish Hansen from the University of Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.